Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and we really, really appreciate your being with us, and we also appreciate your visiting our sponsors and supporters. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Nadine Buchanan.
And Damon King.
And we're going to talk about what has gone on in the past week in Israel, and it's horrific. And we're going to start, I'm going to start out with a little bit of a biblical history lesson. And I'm going to quote the book of Genesis chapter 12, which says, this is God's charge to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So at that point, Abram, as he was then, left Haran, and the story of the Jews began. Now, in terms of blessing the world, the Jews, of course, gave us Jesus, which is quite a blessing. And if you look at Israel, you find out that the number of Nobel Peace Prizes and Nobel Prizes in chemistry and science in relation to their population is amazing. They have blessed the world with their research, their scientific achievement, and a lot of other things. But I want to look at what happens when you mistreat Israel, because that's historically, there seems to be a problem when you do that. And I'm going to start with the British Empire, which in 1917 declared the Balfour Declaration, which promised a Jewish homeland. The League of Nations went along with that, and it was going to happen. And then Britain reneged upon their promise. And if you look at the end of the British Empire, you will find, after 1917, the sun no longer set on the British Empire.
The sun began to set on the British Empire, because previous to that,
the sun never set.
Never set
on the British Empire. Okay. Now I want to look at Germany. The Night of Broken Glass, Kristallnacht, occurred on November 9th and 10th, 1938. This was a night of violence against Jews and Jewish businesses that took place throughout Germany, parts of Austria, and parts of Czechoslovakia. On November 9th, 1989, the Berlin Wall fell, 51 years to the day for that country to be divided. Here's another one. And this, I mean, this could be an incredible coincidence, but after a while, how many coincidences before you have a pattern? On August 18th, 2005, Jewish residents in the Gaza Strip were forcibly removed from their homes with the approval of the American government. Excuse me, on August 29th, Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, one of the worst hurricanes to hit America. Unfortunately, America initially did not handle this recent attack very well. The U.S. Office of Palestinian Affairs, the State Department, wrote, "We unequivocally condemn the attack of Hamas terrorists and the loss of life that has occurred." Now, that's pretty good. "We urge all sides to refrain from violence and retaliatory attacks. Terror and violence solve nothing," the tweet said. So initially, they did not want Israel to respond. Now, that tweet was taken down. So I will give someone else the floor now.
Well, I think historically, as you say, there's been this, I guess you could call it a hatred towards the Jews that goes back way centuries back, even before the 1900s. And why that's the case, you know, I'm not sure. You can speculate about it, but certainly the, I don't want to call them Palestinians, because that implies that they were actually part of a Palestine government, which they really weren't. But the people who live in that area who are Muslims don't seem to be willing to accept any compromise. and to move forward together in a way that would make all their lives better.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an unfortunate thing. And you know, when this Gaza Strip was turned over to them by the Israelis in 2005, they had an opportunity to work with Israel, but they decided they would put Hamas in as their governing group, a known terrorist group.
And that was their last election.
Outcome. Instead of working for peace and cooperating, it's been hostility with continued stating, we want to exterminate the Jews.
How can you
compromise? Somebody wants to kill you all off.
The thing that is really sad is when the Jews turned over the Gaza Strip, there were greenhouses there. It was a prosperous area. It was feeding the world. And the first thing that the people there did was destroy the greenhouses. So they destroyed their own economic future. And
when does that remind you of most recently? How about President Biden doing that to this country? Didn't he come in, the first thing he did was destroy all the things
the infrastructure
that were being built, and he's doing the same thing to our economy.
He killed the energy.
Just an aside.
He killed the energy independence, which was, yes. And what happened was, when they were given money for foreign aid, instead of using it to build their infrastructure and do positive things, they built tunnels into Israel, and they bought weapons. So they haven't behaved well.
They set up their own government, their own. I'm going to say it's not even any kind of representative government. It's a dictatorial government,
terrorist state,
as we heard today. Now there is retaliation going on by Israel, and Israel is giving warnings to the people that live in the Gaza Strip. You will move out of this neighborhood because we are going to destroy it. And Hamas is apparently saying, nope, don't move out. So
because they want the civilian casualties for the news reports.
Yeah.
The bottom line of this thing is a spiritual war. It is something that started eons ago before Israel became a nation.
Yes.
And if we look back in Genesis 15, 18 through 21, you know, God is giving description of, well, actually Genesis 12, he tells where you just read from, you know, Abraham, leave, I'm going to give you some things, I'm going to bless you with some things, I'm going to bless you to be a great nation, but leave this place, and
but
whoever
it's not
blesses
gonna...
you, I will bless, whoever curses you, I will curse. But he gets to Genesis chapter 15, and it gets real interesting.
By the way, that walk was not an easy walk. God never promised us an easy walk.
No. Oh no! Well, he never did. Well, here's the crazy thing. Let's do some background on Abraham historically. Abraham dwelled in the land of the Chaldeans, the land of Ur, right? Mm-hmm. And in that place there, they actually worshipped 1,000 gods. Mm-hmm. They had a plethora of gods. This is going to shock people, but if you study the history of it, you're going to find it. There was one in that crowd called Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So within that crowd, you got to keep a hold of this. He's worshiping 1,000 gods. There is one in that pack that they called Allah. But then all of a sudden he hears the voice of this God that he never heard the voice of before. It's a miraculous thing because now all of a sudden the Lord God calls him and say, Abraham, leave your family and go to a place that I will show you. This is amazing faith in many different ways because it's a simple fact. First of all, there's one that's not part of that 1,000 that's talking to him.
Mm.
And number two, you're just going to get up and leave and go to a place that I will show you. Wait a minute. I'm going to point that direction and you start going.
Just go.
However, it did take him a while to follow those directions.
Well, I don't know if it took him a while to follow those directions. He got up and left. The Bible says right here in Genesis chapter 12, it says, so Abraham departed. Mm-hmm. He said, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever. Yeah. And he said, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. The next verse says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And that was the other problem. He takes something with him that wasn't supposed to go.
Yes.
So Lot was his family. He told him, leave your family. That means you and Sarai, Abram, take off and go. He takes that extra baggage. Now, it was a long time before the Son of Promise come along. 25 years later, this is what happens. But I think we've got some places that we can go in Scripture to really see the foundation of this battle between Israel and the Arab nations that surround them. And it started by the birth of two children.
Yes. Yes.
And so I know we got a break coming up here soon, but so I won't get into that. But by the time we get to Genesis chapter 15, we're looking at even the nation, the land that God had promised to Israel. Mm-hmm. He promised Abraham the land that was all the way from the river, the great river in Egypt, or the river of Egypt, to the great river Euphrates. Well, if we look at the river of Egypt, it's the Nile River. Mm-hmm. So from there all the way to modern day Baghdad, Iraq, was actually all the land that God had actually given Israel. So they're dwelling right now in this little strip about the size of New Jersey when everything around them belongs to them according to the promise of God. And we find this in like four or five places in Scripture.
One of the leaders of Israel at one point made the comment, I'm not really sure how much land God gave us, but I know it was more than we currently have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, folks, I think we're just going to use this as a teaser, and we're going to take a quick early break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. And again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for staying with us.
A professional auto service keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I'm going to pass it to Damon.
So we continue on to talk about what happened with the land, and I've got references if anybody's writing it down. You can find the land that God promised, Genesis 15, verses 18 through 21. Even named some of the neighboring individuals or people or groups of people, the tribes that are dwelling there. Deuteronomy 1 and 7, Deuteronomy 11, 24, and Joshua 1 and 4. So we see this now, this nation that we see today, not even being or filling the land or the territory that God completely promised them. And we know that his promise is going to be fulfilled.
You know, Damon, just to interrupt for a moment. Mm-hmm. Now, again, of course, we are studying some of this, quote, ancient history, okay? Mm-hmm. What language has survived from ancient history?
Well, a language that went extinct at some point, ancient Hebrew, mm-hmm. has made a revision on the earth. At one point, it was extinguished off the earth. You didn't find it anywhere.
Almost totally, yeah.
But mm-hmm. once the war of 47 and 40, once Israel became a nation again, and on May 14th, 1948, so was the notification. They got, I guess the world got put on notice that, man, ancient Hebrew is being spoken again. And that language had gone extinct after AD 70, once Roman General Titus went into Jerusalem and the great diaspora happened and the Jews were dispersed all over the earth.
And all of a sudden they're back together.
And they're back together from a language that was gone, and now they have all revived their language. And that's a miracle of God. That no man could do that.
You don't see anybody walking around speaking Latin.
As
much as Latin is the basis for a bunch of languages,
that's right.
You do not see anybody walking around speaking Latin.
That's right. So, you know, we get this thing, and this here's where this squabble started. Sarai and Abraham had no children, or Abram at the time. Abram had no children, and God is constantly making this promise about a seed and blessing the whole earth through his seed. Mm-hmm. And Sarai is impatient now. She's tired of waiting. Hey, go into my handmaiden Hagar. You'll find all this information in Genesis chapter 16. From this relationship of Abram and Hagar, the handmaiden, which we also call in the New Testament the bondwoman, or the woman of the flesh. He represents the flesh. Ishmael was born. If you study the history of Ishmael, you'll understand how the Arabs came about. But God told Hagar after she was kicked out by Sarah, hey, listen, I don't like you anymore. You have slept with my husband. Be gone. And she takes off. And then the Lord speaks to Hagar and says, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. Mm-hmm. Listen to what God said about him. Mm-hmm. When you look over there on the newsreels or any video of the Arab nations, what do you see? People that are uncontrollable. They are wild. Children, five-year-olds in the street with machine guns.
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing, with assault rifles. So he said, he shall be a wild man, and his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he will dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Okay? That's a kick. So finally, Abram was 86 years old. Ishmael is born. In comes now, finally, the promised child of God, mm-hmm. Isaac. Mm-hmm. Isaac is born. Isaac is born, and then there comes a squabble between little Isaac, because big Ishmael is picking on Isaac. I think Ishmael is like 13 years old by this time now. There's still some years that had gone by. This squabble started, the Ishmael-Isaac thing that we see today, the Arabs and the Jews.
Yep.
From there, she got kicked out, and this time God said, hey, listen to your wife. Go ahead and kick her out. Get rid of her. God had seen Hagar crying, thinking about what's going to happen. And God, he heard the voice of the lad crying out, and the angel of the Lord, or the angel of God, called out to Hagar from heaven and said, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise. And she told him that he told her that he would make a great nation of her. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Already he's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. So now he's going to be wild. He's going to be a fighter. And what do we see now?
Yeah.
All those attributes are just showing.
There's
up.
Also, and you would know more about this than I do, there's also a spiritual aspect to this, in the sense that we know Jesus was Jewish, came from the Jewish
exactly.
race. Mm-hmm. And We also know that the Bible says Jesus will come back to Israel. Mm-hmm. So if Israel doesn't exist, then where's Jesus going to go?
Now, I want to for the folks listening, again, I want to put this in context. We really have no idea how this battle is going to end, at least from the human perspective. We don't have any idea of how this battle in Israel right now in Gaza Strip is going to end. We're too early. We're recording this on Tuesday. Right. However, we can look at this Bible that we have in hand and see all of the attributes of this long, long, long ago. And again, trying not to make this a sermon, but we're
history
trying.
History repeats itself.
History repeats itself, yeah.
And this is what we're doing. We're really laying down history, true history, that can be found before, you know, any of us ever existed, and the knowledge of current man would really mm-hmm. know. And so if we want to trace some things, let's go from the number one best-selling oldest book on the planet. And it's still the number one bestseller in the world, even in these days and times. Now, I submit to you, the Arabs are not the only infiltrated enemies of the Israelites.
Well, it's interesting that Iran is so involved in this, and the Iranians are not Arabs. They're Persians.
Well, yeah, okay.
Which is, to me, that's, you know, so don't, let's not blame it all on the Arabs.
But are they cousins? Are they descendants of Ishmael?
I don't know that.
Right. See, that's where the deeper study will go into. But and here's the deal. Anybody that looks like somebody can blend in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of this was internal. How long had they already been dwelling there? Kind of like 9/11 here in America. How long, whoever crashed into those towers and whatever else, how long had they been living here in America? And because we're the melting pot and accept anybody in, well, then now we all look like each other because yep. we are, everybody's here.
And there's also the fact that Isaac and Ishmael were half brothers. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a sibling rivalry thing going in there that is also, I mean, they're all Semites.
Right.
They're all out of the same family.
That's right.
And family quarrels can be the worst.
So let's go one before that one. How about the two brothers before that?
Cain and Abel.
No, we're gonna come to the two brothers just before. We're gonna go to Isaac's dad. I mean, Jacob's dad.
Oh.
Right. So we got, let's go down to his descendant. I'm sorry, his child. We're gonna go to Jacob. And Esau.
Yes.
Look at what Revelation says in Revelation 2, 8 through 11. It says, the angel of the Lord to the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So who are these that are there that say they're Jews and are not? Let's go back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. And y'all might hear the pages turning. Romans chapter 9, and then I'm kind of like slowing down on my part. Here it is, Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 13. But it is not that the word of God has no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Now, I just said that those who say that they are Jews and are not. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. This is what the Bible previously said. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah will have a son. Now, here we go. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the oldest shall serve the younger, mm-hmm. as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.
That's a hard verse.
That is a hard verse.
Yeah.
It's a very hard verse.
But here we have Esau, who looks like Jacob. Mm-hmm. They're brothers. They actually were
twins. Yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
Who dwells among the actual promise? Because Esau's descendants are not Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's only Jacob's descendants that are Israel. In fact, Jacob's name got changed to
Israel.
Now you have Esau dwelling in the midst of them and saying they are Jews, but they are not.
Wow.
You know what, going aside again, what's the difference between the Eastern thought process versus our Western thought process? I mean, I'm going to say we can summarize our Western thought process as the McDonald's process, that we want everything answered instantly. Everything has to be answered instantly. If we look at the battles that are going on, in the Gaza Strip versus the Israelis or whatever else, they're not worried about time. I can do it today. I can do it 100 years from now or whatever else. They're not going to give up.
Yeah, we're a McDonald's culture. Microwave. We're the people who think the microwave is too slow.
Yeah.
And the Eastern culture does not necessarily look at things that way.
No, they don't.
Well, they're very intolerant, it seems to me. It's not a lot, for example, in Iran right now. I'm sure that there are a lot of Iranians who don't like the position that the government's taking, but the government is so tyrannical. Mm-hmm. Like in the Gaza Strip, like Hamas, they have an iron grip on those people. Mm-hmm. You don't resist them. If they will come down on you. Mm-hmm. So the people really have no ability to assert any sort of freedom because it's not permitted.
We saw that when China took over Hong Kong, and Hong Kong was supposed to remain free. And Hong Kong learned very quickly that their freedom was very limited once they got taken over by China, despite the agreements made with the Chinese.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. I hope you're, even though we're doing a biblical lesson, I hope that you understand how it relates to today.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I'm going to go to Damon again.
So to wrap up what I was discussing here from the biblical perspective, just to give us a background and a history of how this conflict started and why it's continuing to be ongoing. While we were off the air, I made a statement that it's a little bit like this. Ishmael is born. He grows up a little bit. He's part of the family for about 13 years. little Isaac comes along, and then all of a sudden he is more important than him, because what he looks up and sees is he and his mother being abandoned by that dad that fathered him. So now he's looking at little Ishmael going, I hate you, I don't like you, because you are responsible for me and my mother getting kicked out. They loved you, but they didn't love me. And here's the conflict that now continues to ensue because of a baby or a young kid and his mother getting kicked away from a home. And that archer and that wild man continues to have his hand against every man, just like God said. Because let me help you understand something. Those Arabs, those who believe are indoctrinated with the Islamic faith, do not like America no more than they like Israel. Let me help you understand that. We're the big Satan, as Mary just said, and Israel is considered the little Satan. And you can find that in some of their documentation.
Now I'm just going to qualify it a little bit, because just as we know that there are rabid Christians, there are rabid Muslims, or there are nominal Muslims that are just a friendly neighbor, other than the fact that their background, they couldn't change their faith without getting thrown out of their own family.
You're right.
And that so there's a slight difference there. But but again, we understand that there are folks that are really bent on creating turmoil, whatever else, and there's others that are nominal that you wouldn't know anything. Again, likewise, Christians. There are Christians that are nominal. Oh, yeah, I've got a name, but so what? Pardon my...
I want to talk about money. Because this was a very expensive operation. Mm-hmm. This was a very well-planned operation. And it's not an incredible coincidence that we just freed up $6 billion to Iran just before this happened. Now, the claim is being made by the Biden administration, well, Iran didn't have the money yet. It was in a Korean bank, a South Korean bank, and they transferred it to Qatar. Well, Qatar is known to be the major funder of the Muslim Brotherhood and of terrorism in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. They are the banking center. And it wouldn't have taken very long for Qatar to get that money to where it needed to be. The planning meeting for this horrific attack was in Beirut last week in Lebanon. And Israel is being attacked through the Gaza Strip, but it is also being attacked from Lebanon by Hezbollah. They are facing a serious problem here.
Multi-front.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and like you say, Mary, the money, and the thing is, it's not just the $6 billion. What happened was, as soon as Biden became president, what did he do? He shut down our oil supply.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right now, our strategic oil reserve has 17 days reserve mm-hmm. left. And it's supposed to be a period of 6 to 9 months. It's all been brought down, just trying to keep the price of all that. So, but the other thing that happened was he took all the restrictions off Iran supplying oil to the rest of the world. Mm. They are now supplying 7 to 10% of all the oil in the world. It's going to China. It's going to these other countries. And they have made billions, Mary, not just the $6 billion. They estimate they've made $40 to $50 billion since Biden came in and took mm-hmm. over. So they've had plenty of money to buy arms for Hezbollah, these other terrorist groups, and they've been emboldened by what Biden did with the $6 billion. That was, to me, was like a trigger. It's kind of like indicating,
yes.
mm-hmm. I'm weak, I'm willing to go along. If you do something, I'm not going to, and notice today when Biden was making his, finally made some remarks about what happened, he never once mentioned Iran as a co-player in this thing.
Well,
he just left it all out. Why? Because he doesn't want his actions with Iran to be linked in any way to causing this.
Right. Well, there's another part of it too. Yeah. There's something called the Taylor Force Act. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. That was passed under Trump, and it says no money will be given to any Palestinian entity that is used to pay the families of terrorists after the terrorists have committed terrorist acts and they're dead or they're in jail or whatever. Biden has chosen to ignore this. And the aid that we have given to Palestine, and it isn't Palestine, I just don't know what else to call it, but the aid that we have poured into the Gaza Strip has totally ignored the Taylor Force Act. And again, we've resumed that aid, we've thrown money in there, and guess what? They haven't been building up their infrastructure.
You just mentioned Palestine. Now, I do know, much to my dislike or whatever else, there were times when the non-Netanyahu government offered Palestinians a statehood there.
Yes.
And it was refused. And they don't want a statehood. They want Israel. So they don't want a separate state. There is no joy in getting that separate
state. They want a one-state solution.
They want one that is Israel. So again, we're looking at, they don't want to coexist at all. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one thing for two countries to war over territory, which mm-hmm. most wars are over territory. Mm-hmm. For example, what's going on in Ukraine. Russia wants parts of Ukraine, so they're fighting over territory. It's different when the objective of your enemy is your extermination.
Right.
And that is what the Jews are facing. Mm-hmm. They went through, and they have the history. They went through it in World War II, where, you know, 6 million Jews died in Europe. And Hitler made it very clear in Mein Kampf what he wanted to do and what he was going to do. And he did it. And Iran's saying the same thing. And Hamas, these entities, and you just have to believe them.
You have to believe.
You can't compromise with somebody that wants to exterminate you.
Right.
You have to exterminate them first.
Yeah. And yes, it's not like we shouldn't believe them. Oh, they're just talking rhetorical talk. No, it's not rhetorical talk. No. This is a genuine threat.
And I like what he's saying there. You know, it's me or you. And at this point, they don't believe in anything but death.
Right.
I mean, it's just death. And to exterminate the Jews has been their mission for many, many, many centuries, if we really think about it. And so I think he's very correct.
And therein lies why they feel that they can commit these atrocities. I mean, if you're fighting one army against another, then it's soldier against soldier. To some extent. Now, there may be civilian casualties, mm-hmm. but this is not their objective. They want to eliminate Jews. They go in there and they kill any Jew.
Yes.
Infants, children, older people, people that are not a threat to them militarily, but they're justified because their objective is to eliminate all Jews.
So what they're doing then is actually carrying out what God was trying to prevent from happening centuries or millennia down the road, when he first told King Saul the first time to go into certain places and destroy everything.
Yes.
Everything. Don't bring back any loot. Don't loot any booty. Don't bring back money. Cattle die. Children die. Because he was trying to go ahead and say, there's something coming down the road, Saul. If you don't do this, your descendants are going to suffer greatly. Saul failed to do it.
Yes.
Don't let the nose of the camel get under the edge of the tent.
Thank you.
And that was when Saul and Samuel had their final falling out.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That was when Saul lost his mantle of yes. as king of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And now I guess the phrase is, what is that bleeding that I hear?
Yes.
Folks, go find it. Go find it in the Bible.
The bleeding of sheep that I hear?
Yes.
Where do we go from now?
But this is part of a pattern. Mm-hmm. It's part of the desire on the part of some people to eliminate the state of Israel. But be aware, too, that the propaganda battle goes on. There is a memo from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, an internal memo that was leaked, instructing news reporters not to refer to Hamas attackers as terrorists.
You know, now going in a slightly different direction, and I know that we're going to go to another break in another minute and a half, but But the question that I'm going to bring up is, what should the U.S. response be? Okay? Because we have spent so much money, sent so much money to Ukraine, okay, without results other than some fat cats are really getting fat cats. What should we do in supporting Israel? I know that from my perspective, we need to support Israel. Now, the question is, do we need to support them financially, or do we just need to tell everybody else, you stay out of their way?
Well, they've recently, you know, they did announce they're sending another carrier task force fleet to the President Eisenhower.
The Ford is there.
The other one is already there.
The Gerald Ford, yes.
The Gerald Ford. So they are moving in that direction. And you know, after the break, maybe we could discuss a little bit about how we could wind up getting involved in there, like it or not.
Yeah, and again,
like it or not is the correct.
Again, this from my perspective, this is a war that's not going to last forever and ever and ever. This is something that will come to a head, and we're going to pray that it will come to God's proper conclusion. We're going to take a quick break again. Thank you for staying with us.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Again, thank you for staying with the sponsors and supporters. This is the CCTA wake-up call.
Yeah, I think that we need to consider where our country stands in this conflict. Obviously, we're going to support Israel, but to what extent do we get involved? Because this war has the potential to greatly expand. For example, Hezbollah, which is a much bigger force than Hamas, attacks Israel in force. And then Israel defends itself to them. Then Iran gets drawn in. We wind up with a war between it. You know, then it gets very difficult because, you know, thank goodness, as far as we know, Iran does not have a nuclear weapon yet. But they're on the verge of getting that. And, you know, we have American hostages. Are we going to use our special forces troops to go in and try to identify and free those hostages? It wouldn't be unheard of. We've done that in the past. And that would send a clear message to other countries. If you take our people hostage, we're going to go in and get them. We're not going to send you $6 billion.
But from our State Department, we're not sure if we're getting a clear message.
There's another aspect of this, too. For many years, the theory was land for peace. Mm-hmm. If Israel gives up Lebanon, if Israel gives up the Gaza Strip, we'll have peace. Well, we have two glaring examples of the fact that that doesn't work. We have Hamas in the Gaza Strip. We have Hezbollah in Lebanon. So I think we can throw away the concept of land for peace. That's not going to work.
Yeah. And Turkey also is a third example that when they changed the government.
When Erdogan came in, they went to a Muslim government, and they had been a strong ally of Israel up to that point. And when he came in, they walked away from that. Now they've moved. They've become a little less an enemy of Israel in the past year or two because they're going through all kinds of internal struggles. But there's still an animus there that I wouldn't necessarily trust. But I don't know what our role is.
And certainly if you look at it, you know, it doesn't necessarily equate as a comparison, but look at all the money and resources we've given the Ukraine. Ukraine is nowhere near a reliable ally like Israel's.
No,
we don't owe Ukraine anything like we owe Israel and our commitment to Israel.
Ukraine has a reputation of being one of the most corrupt countries in Europe. Israel does not have that reputation.
There were some allegations today, I don't know what's been verified or not, though, that some of the missiles and so on that were being used to attack Israel,
they have come from
missiles we provided to Ukraine that have been siphoned off by their corrupt bureaucracy and sent somewhere else, sold off, because we're not tracking it. We don't have the mechanism in place to keep up with where those armaments are going. Mm-hmm. And then we leave $85 billion worth of arms in Afghanistan. Right. Where's that gone?
Do you think that could be some of it?
I could very well be. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. And, you know, it's...
They're going to find, I believe, unexploded ordnance with U.S. serial numbers on it.
Absolutely.
From either Afghanistan or Ukraine. I have no doubt. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that is not good. No. But... You know, it's gone to the point, I think you can probably buy an F-14 on eBay. I mean, it's just gotten out of control.
Well, I think that the Israelis have sufficient manpower to defend themselves.
I hope so.
And I understand they called up 300,000.
Yeah.
360,000.
360,000. And then I understand that it's very difficult to get in. You would think people would be leaving Israel. There's a lot of people going to Israel because they want to help defend them. Right. So I don't think it's an issue where we're going to have to provide, fighting men, but certainly support, military equipment, those things, which we're draining of our own, by the way. Mm-hmm. We're draining our supplies by supplying the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to drain our supplies even further. And now we got China waiting in the wings to see what they're going to do with Taiwan.
Yep.
And it's like Israel, when you read about all these rockets coming in, the only thing that's saving them right now is the Iron Dome, mm-hmm. what they call the Iron Dome, which is a series of missiles that we provided for them, our technology, that's protecting them. Otherwise, they'd be annihilated already with the number of missiles. So I just hope that we have the ability to provide them with the equipment and armament they're going to need to defend themselves.
There were a tremendous amount of Americans that went to Israel in 1948 to help them defend their country. And I think one of the stories that came out of that is Israel became a nation and everybody attacked. I mean, it was like, it's Saturday night, let's attack Israel. Right. And I think they had one or two planes, I don't even remember which, that was their Air Force, and what they did was they kept on repainting the tail numbers on the airplane so that it would look like they had more than one or two.
You know, and you wonder whether that there's some sort of an agreement, I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but when you start looking at this, Russia, Iran, China, or allies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Russia starts, they attack Ukraine. Then the Iranians encourage an attack on Israel. Now we got two places we have to defend. What does that do? That weakens our ability to support Taiwan. Now, was that a strategy? It's just a pure accident. If you believe in accidents in the world, then you say this is just a coincidence. But it does make you wonder whether this is what they're trying to do, just keep chipping away at our strength. We get weaker and weaker, and we won't be able to defend all these places at the same time.
It's also interesting to look at this in view of Ezekiel 38.
Fill in the blank.
The alliance of Russia and Iran and Turkey is amazing. Now, I don't know if that's this war. This guy could be another war. The thing we need to understand is that Israel has the right to defend itself. It has the right to protect its citizens, and that God isn't asleep. This is not a surprise to him.
And we need to continue to be supporters of Israel.
We also need to pray for Israel.
Even though we have people, whether it's in the media or whether it's in the school age, college age students or whatever else that are protesting, whatever, we as a country need to support Israel strongly.
And the sad part about it, we have people in Congress now, of five or six, what are they called, of people who are supporting, they're basically supporting Palestine. They're supporting Israel's enemies. And Tlaib, I think her name is, she's flying the Palestinian flag over her office in Washington. I mean, they're supposed to be Americans. They're supposed to be representing America, not some foreign country. She ought to be kicked out.
Yes. Ilhan Omar wants to pin war crimes on Israel. So we have people.
You should not be able to do that working in our government. Mm-mm. Never, ever, ever.
We see the turmoil there. We see the turmoil, whether it's on our southern border or even our northern border right now, with just everybody and his brother and sister, especially military age men crossing the borders right now. We're just not sure how we're being attacked on all fronts. Right. We know that we're being attacked on all fronts. Right. We're just not sure how, and nor are we sure what we're going to do about it. So, keep going.
There was a group of illegal aliens who were coming across the Rio Grande last week with a Venezuelan flag. If you're carrying a Venezuelan flag, please go back to Venezuela.
And I'd like to say that to anybody who think that they really should come over here and enjoy the freedoms of America and then yet think that they come from the greatest land in the world. Well, what did you leave for? I'm not breaking my neck to try to get into Mexico or Venezuela or any other place. I am proud to be right where I am because I know this is the greatest place that exists on earth.
By the way, we saw the little meme that said that E.T. was the greatest film because he was the alien that wanted to go back home.
Well, we should help them go back home.
Yes,
absolutely.
No,
Trump, I think Trump is the only candidate who's come out and said that if he's reelected, his objective would be to deport all the people that are here illegal, spite of all the protections that the Biden administration is putting around them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're going to have to undo that because back in the 1950s, President Eisenhower deported a lot of illegal aliens. And Reagan was ready to do that, and unfortunately he got talked out of it. But they need to be deported.
Remember that Trump was willing to deport, but somebody put on one of the judicial systems said you can't. The DACA.
They upheld DACA.
Upheld DACA, which has since been overridden.
The scary part too is when you look at the pictures of the people pouring across the border, a very large percent of them are military-aged single men. Mm-hmm. That does not say good things for our future. We need to understand that the enemy is here, and we need to be careful. We need to be aware of what's around us, and we need to just be smart. Don't do stupid things.
We've done plenty of stupid things, yeah.
Like Bugs Bunny said, it's time to button down the hatches.
Yes.
Well, you know, folks, we've gone around a lot of different ways this show, and I just ask that you, again, seriously understand and watch what's going on with Israel. We need them as an ally. They need us as an ally, and we need to stand strong with them.
I want to mention that October 17th, which is this Tuesday, Lauren Spivak will be speaking at our public CCTA meeting at Stanley Hall, downtown New Bern, 7 p.m. He is known as a free market warrior. He's written adult books and children's books, and he's going to talk to us about the free market and his books and educate us on the things we need to know about the American economy to keep it strong and to keep our freedom.
One quick thing for you folks. If you're coming to Stanley Hall, please come and visit us at Stanley Hall. But just be aware that there's the parking lot, catty corner to Stanley Hall, is now a paid parking lot. So look for on-the-street parking or park behind City Hall, because their private parking ends at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So we just ask you to go and take their spaces and come and join us at the CCTA wake-up call and also when we're at Stanley Hall Ballroom. We appreciate your being with us and to join us again. This is CCTA wake-up call. Thank you again.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.